My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports Time Out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Heck yeah. Here's Michelle. What? Not just here's Michelle, but oh so much more. I got my buddies here. I got the men of the team, of the My Michelle Live team, where we get together every week, talk about the sports stories of the week and the stories behind the stories, and hopefully getting to a message of hope, a deeper story, the God story. That's what we do on My Michelle Live. Let me introduce you to the team. We have with us the man we call the Encyclopedia of Sports, veteran sports reporter, and all-around awesome guy, Rich Hallstrom.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
Pastor, chaplain, coach, and you gotta love him. It's Garrick Pang.
Get ready to get...
Hey, Reverend, you could have just said amen.
Amen and amen. Then we have with us author, photographer, well, you know, Brent R. Baker.
Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
We have mighty, mighty good men here joining the mighty, mighty good girl for a little bit of sports.
Sports, sports, sports.
Yes, it is. And today, well, we are celebrating just a little bit because baseball, come on, you can't beat it.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
That's right. A little bit of Lone Star there to celebrate the Atlanta Braves finishing off the Houston Astros. They won it. They won it all. The first World Series championship since 1995 for Atlanta. Congratulations.
Ball game.
Yes. That is right. Way to go. It's kind of exciting. I want to say a big congratulations because the Atlanta Braves had a 6-game victory. Anyone want to weigh in on the games themselves?
Well, the last few games were, I think, the most exciting. And Jorge Soler coming away with an MVP after playing most of the season with the Kansas City Royals. He really showed himself to be a great representative for the Braves. Braves bullpen, the Braves pitching staff, every move they made this season after they turned their season around. At one point, they were 51-53 and turned it all the way around to win their division. You can't get a better story than this. And I'll also throw this in. Atlanta had to give up the All-Star game for political reasons.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that.
Great revenge for Braves fans.
Yeah, is it, guys? Is it a nice playback for Major League? If you remember back, Major League Baseball Commissioner Robert Manfred announced that All-Star game was going out of Atlanta to a much whiter city because of a bill that was signed, an election bill that they said disproportionately disenfranchises people of color. Where is that mindset now, by the way, with vaccines, which vaccine mandates disproportionately affect people of color who are disproportionately rejecting the vaccine and disproportionately being fired from jobs? Crickets?
I'm a white dude. I don't get to say.
Cancel culture, do your homework. Okay. I mean, it's like so reactionary. Think things through. Think about the long-term consequences. Think about the bigger picture of what's actually going on. And I just shake my head. I say no more.
Well, Rob Manfred never should have made the decision in the first place to remove the All-Star game because 30% of businesses in the Atlanta area are minority owned. So he was obviously cutting off his own nose to spite his own face and make himself look like he didn't know what he was talking about. So once again, we get to concentrate on baseball, and the Atlanta Braves brought us back to baseball in many different ways. And they honored Hank Aaron. They honored Hank Aaron by winning the World Series. You can't get any better than that.
That was something else, and it was a fun, I'm not going to lie, very fun series to watch. So congratulations to the Atlanta, whole Atlanta area, because I think it was a win all the way around after the canceling of Atlanta in so many areas. So congratulations.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, the whole cheating scandal from a couple of years ago, and
yeah,
you know, you can tell that there's some of the guys who are still on the team that really have never had any kind of, I don't know, remorse exhibited about any of that. And so they're just a really easy team to dislike. As for Atlanta, you know, I thought they were in trouble when they lost their ace in the first game. But maybe I shouldn't be too surprised, because if you haven't watched a lot of baseball nationally, probably even forget that Atlanta had one of the brightest stars in their outfield, Ronald Acuña. He was injured midseason, and a lot of people thought that the Braves were going to have to like go into sell mode and build for the future. And instead they went and they traded for Jorge Soler, who ended up being the MVP, and they won the World Series without their biggest star. So I think it was really some good sports character shown by the guys that rallied around their season, even though it looked like it was lost at one point, and some really good moves by their front office too. So
brings hope to Mariner fans.
Yes, it does.
Who?
Mariner fans. Hey,
who?
You know, the Braves last won in 1995, and that's like the year that Mariner fans keep going back to remember. So maybe there's some.
That's all they got. That's all they got. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
that's all they got. Hey, guys, we're looking at week 9 in the NFL. And so let's take a look maybe back and forward to this next week. The Steelers are looking to extend their winning streak to 4 games after their week 8 win over the Cleveland Browns. Finalizing the process of releasing Odell Beckham Jr. Wow, that's something to talk about. And Da Bears, they're going to be taking on Da Bears, right? With quarterback Justin Fields. He's the rookie and he's ready to set it up, not looking too bad. But speaking of rookies, you remember Trevor Lawrence, the darling of Clemson in 2020? Now playing for Jacksonville, he's like, what, 1-6-0 in 2021? Ouch. So there's some big things happening in the world of the NFL. You guys want to take on any of their stories? There's other things going on too. It's a busy time for football.
Well, Trevor's learning how to play without an offensive line is the problem there.
Or receivers.
And he's also learning that.
Now, if he could just catch, throw it to himself and catch, he'd be fine.
Yeah. Your organization is, let's say, use that famous word, dysfunctional with a double capital D. And Urban Meyer is not concentrating on his job, and I'm not sure he knows what his job is, but that could be another story for another show. So that's the real problem there. Russell finally got the pin out of his finger. Positive news for Seahawks fans. Russell put a video
really,
out there.
Really, because this last game, the step-in quarterback was doing just fine. He's probably found himself. And that's where, Seattle has a love affair with Russell Wilson. But one, he's not going to last forever. And he's not the same Russ. He's a superstar now. And yet this superstar hasn't had a really great winning season either. I mean, he hasn't looked like, what? Is that sacrilege to the Seattle folks? Are you guys hating
me? No, but if we're going to really talk about the Seahawks problems start on defense, and they've got to get it back together on defense. and maintain that for the whole rest of the year.
Maybe that's because defense is spending too much time on the field, Rich.
Well, what, regardless of how much time defense spends on the field, you got to be able to get people off on third down, and they don't do that very well.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. Although the time they spend on the field does have some bearing, I would say the Raiders are going to be releasing Henry Ruggs for two felony charges in the fatal crash. And I had mentioned also the Browns releasing Odell Beckham. So there's some shakeups.
Well, guys, the Henry Ruggs thing got to be one of the saddest things that's happened to the National Football League in recent times. A woman dies, her dog dies, and as Henry Ruggs is driving 156 miles an hour in a residential area close to Las Vegas at 3:30 in the morning with the girlfriend, the mother of his daughter. They have a daughter together, and both of them were severely injured in his own car. But a woman dies, and it puts sports into perspective.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. This is what happens oftentimes when you have the entitlement and the sports car and the money, and you feel maybe a little untouchable.
Yeah, or well, not invincible.
Yeah,
invincible.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize the tragedy of this at all. It's horrific, and this was purely a result of Henry Ruggs's decision. But I do find it interesting the different responses that the NFL has had to different things.
Yeah.
And the Raiders cut him the next day, which I have no problem with that at all. It was that didn't seem like there was any doubt about what he did or who did it. But we have this situation where he's cut the next day. We have the John Gruden situation with the what have been termed racist and homophobic emails. I haven't read them, so I'm not going to say, but he loses his job. He's canceled, basically removed from Tampa Bay's Ring of Honor within days of this coming out. And yet here we have Deshaun Watson sitting down there in Houston, still the subject of trade rumors right up to the trade deadline, with what, 25 or 30 pretty credible complaints that have gone to a grand jury of sexual assault against him. And yet there's teams that still want him. So I'm kind of wondering how and why we get into these different responses by the league that really don't seem to have any relation to the severity of the crime committed, or even whether it's credible that person committed it. So cancel culture is worse than sexual assault, as far as what I can see here.
Well, Brent, I'll answer that question for you. I'll throw my opinion out there, and then we can talk about it. Roger Goodell has no spine.
Okay.
That's pretty much a mic drop there.
Yeah. We've seen it in the past with, I don't remember the player's name. I'm sure you remember it, but the running back who punched his girlfriend in the elevator, and it was on video. Mm-hmm. And that thing stretched out forever about whether or not he'd be able to play again. We have the Josh Gordon situation, where he's with Seattle. Now, he has not hurt any other people. He's had severe personal issues since childhood. He's had some substance abuse issues that for the most part were not like performance enhancing issues,
and he went
psychological, right?
He went through all the programs and completed all the programs successfully. That's That's a guy you should reward for working on his issues and doing exactly what he was supposed to do.
The lack of consistency or proportionality just is really galling.
That's what bothers me probably the most, because I talk a lot about the importance of there being fair and equal standards across the board. And, we talk about needing for police reform in this country and criminal justice reform. And you see stuff like this, and it's just, there is not
I think we need to look a little bit deeper, and I wanted to talk briefly about the Phoenix Suns and what's happening there. You mentioned that. Let's take a watch. Going back to the NBA Finals. And a listen.
The Phoenix Suns began this season as defending Western Conference champions, a team riding high with the veteran presence of all-time great Chris Paul, a young star in Devin Booker, a top coach in Monty Williams, and reigning Executive of the Year, James Jones. But an ESPN investigation has revealed that the Suns' success on the court has emerged alongside a sometimes toxic and hostile workplace under majority owner Robert Sarver.
So we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with that. One of those allegations was that he had a problem with a technical foul because someone got called because they used the N-word. But he said, wait a minute, other people are on the court using the N-word. That's another inconsistency. I'm not defending the misogyny. I'm not defending things that should not be anywhere, let alone sports. But guys, where is that consistency? I don't care what color you are. If it's not okay, it's not okay.
Yeah, this goes back to something that we've talked about, Michelle, and I'll just put it out there again. We can talk about, you can't talk about morality without talking about moral absolutes. And that's what people want to do, is they want to not discuss the possibility of moral absolutes, but they want to make moral judgments absolute.
Ooh, well put. Come on.
You cannot do that. If you believe in moral relativism, I ask people in debates this question a lot. If you believe in moral relativism, how can you be absolutely certain that someone is a racist? Because you have to make an absolute judgment based on the facts in order to call someone a racist.
And what you're saying there is that if I don't identify as a racist, then therefore I am not one. Under the lack of absolute morality there.
Well, yeah. See, and that's where worldview matters, because if you have a worldview that considers the world just chaos that happened to somehow come together, then you can have chaotic views. All of a sudden, I can identify as the hubcap of a Mercedes-Benz 320, and that just makes it so. But you can't say, I don't identify as a racist. I identify as vaccinated, even though I'm not. You should be able to. But there is no consistency. You got to check your worldview, sweetheart. Another issue that comes into hockey, a big issue this week, the Hockey Hall of Fame has crossed out Brad Ulrich's name on the Black Hawk Stanley Cup. I mean, they're, you know, like getting an eraser. Let's take a listen and a look at that story.
Stan Bowman resigned as president of hockey operations of the Chicago Blackhawks. Another senior team official, Al McIsaac, is also out. And the team has been fined $2 million by the NHL for the organization's inadequate internal procedures. It's all collateral from a report released Tuesday detailing how the team handled sexual assault allegations towards a former video coach, Brad Aldrich, during their 2010 Stanley Cup run.
Now, his behavior, absolutely, absolutely not okay. And he should, yeah. I mean, it should have been dealt with then. But here's something that I want to take on as our face-off topic today. Is it okay to completely cancel, erase someone from history? Did he not earn it? I mean, we are none righteous, no, not one. Some of the things that we do may seem more egregious, but sin, you know, we're all full of it. No one's perfect. We've taken down statues. We've renamed high schools because people were imperfect. There is no one perfect. So is this a justified case of canceling? If he earned it, that why take it from him is firing and public humiliation enough. And let me bring this into the conversation, my friends. Do you remember a famous switch hitter and all-time MLB leader in hits? Earned three World Series. His name is Pete Rose, right? Well, remember Pete Rose penalized, permanently ineligible from baseball, and because he gambled on baseball games. And while he was playing, he gambled on his own team, which I would have thought was better than gambling against his own team, but that's another story. In 91, if I'm right, Rich, the Baseball Hall of Fame formally voted to ban anyone Correct. Who's permanently ineligible. But as we fast forward to 2021, times have changed. Sports betting is now legal in one form or another. And did he or did he not earn that? And what does your dog have to say about it? I mean, this is what I want to take as our face-off.
The face-off.
Face-off! What do you guys think? Do we completely erase somebody from history, or do we put an asterisk next to their accomplishments?
Here's the thing. What we're doing is going back and sort of it's a type of historical revisionism. You're taking what is acceptable today or unacceptable today, and then removing people from history based upon their violating today's standards. Now, don't get me wrong, this Aldrich character, he needs to be in prison. All right, but
he needs to be buried under the prison.
Whatever, but at the same time,
okay.
If we go back
and
find everything that every Stanley Cup participant has ever done wrong off the ice, how many guys would be left on those cups? How many people would be erased out of the Baseball Hall of Fame or the NFL Hall of Fame? I have a problem with these organizations trying to act as moral arbiters as opposed to keepers of the records of the on-field accomplishments. If you want to say in the guy's bio that he was later convicted of rape, you got to do that.
Then there's the asterisk right there. Yeah. And if we erase people from history, Brent, are we ever going to learn from history?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, if I go back and read, I have this old book. It was written in the 50s about baseball's greatest stars. And up till that time, it had guys like Ty Cobb and all this sort of stuff. And you read this book and you hear them recount conversations and say, hey, gee, guys, what about this? Or golly, this or that. Or guys rallying around Ty Cobb, who by all accounts was a miserable human being to be around. And the history, the names weren't whitewashed, but the way these guys were in the locker room or whatever was like sanitized as if you were writing for a nine-year-old, and it wasn't a book for nine-year-olds. And I think this is just a different manifestation of that sort of thing. It's like you're changing history to make it look better than it was. Then from now, when we look back, when these accounts aren't accurate, and we get a very twisted view. Oh, it's the worst time ever now because that stuff never happened back then. Well, that's just because you erased it. It happened.
Good point.
It's an opportunity for the human race to make itself look better when there's nothing we can do to make ourselves look better. I mean, Michelle, you brought it up earlier. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. I mean, so we cannot change human nature. The only thing that can change human nature is Jesus Christ. And you got to choose that.
Oh, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
How many biblical historical characters would be canceled because of things that they did that we read about that we wouldn't even want to repeat on this program?
David, Moses, Paul. Come on, Michelle.
Keep going.
Not Rich, but maybe Brent and Garrett,
well,
too.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The pedestal's getting a little too high for the wheels. Let's not, Let's not get up there. But if we go to the Chicago Blackhawks situation and the Hockey Hall of Fame, I know what they're trying to do. But if the Chicago Blackhawks organization really cared, this guy would have never done anything, never been able to do anything.
Oh, he would have been canceled from the team long ago. You mentioned the Hall of Fame. I was at the Hall of Fame in Canada in 2017, the very day they announced that the Seattle Kraken would be an official team. So it was a pretty historic day. If you really want to be real, don't take someone's name off. Put a plaque up and say, this is what this guy did. This is how we started rooting out ugliness in sports. This is what happened. Have a display there so that people can walk by and learn from that and say, oh, how sad, you know, to achieve such victory, but to not have peace in your heart, to achieve something that you think is so great, but not to be able to have people look back and say, what a great man.
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that either, because in a way it is putting them into the spotlight.
Yeah, I think they should be. I think you should say, this is what the guy did. This is his allegations. This is how bad things were. You can't just make a pretty display at the NHL Hall of Fame and make it all happy like Brent's book.
Well, I think the other thing you can do is maybe you don't go into all the details of what this guy did.
Yeah,
but you put some on there and say, the organization failed to address it. These guys knew about it at the time, and they failed to address it. And it was, 11 years before?
Oh yeah,
before the reckoning happened. I mean, because then you say instead of like erasing a championship, they went there and they won it. But this is the stuff that was going on behind the scenes that there was no excuse for.
Well, yeah,
I think another good example that lends to the road that Brent and Garrick are trying to take us down is this. We cannot erase the existence of Negro League baseball, but we have to recognize the existence of Negro League baseball, because the reason it existed is because Major League Baseball was
racist. Yes.
But that doesn't take away from the history making and the use of Negro League baseball in order to promote positive change in the United States of America.
But we do have to take a stand against something that is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Another story comes out of the soccer realm, where Major League Soccer hired an independent review firm to look at the female version of the Vancouver Whitecaps. There was some serious allegations there having to do with someone who played an assistant coach, and I'll give you favors, but you have to share a room with me. I mean, it was just, that should have never happened.
I will sign you to a contract if you do certain things.
Not okay.
Definitely not.
It's just not okay. And so we need to be in a place where we're rooting out that kind of behavior. But what we're seeing right now with many stories spanning differing sports, are we not, that it's the organizations that want to protect that, don't want to talk about it, don't want to deal with it, and turn a blind eye.
Oh, that's, it's totally true.
Well,
go ahead, Garrett.
Going back to the whole situation with the Blackhawks and just kind of cancel culture in general, I think the issue, and I think Rich touched on this, is the fact that we're trying to pretend that things didn't exist. Okay. And I think it defeats the purpose of what we're trying, of ultimately what the goal is, because the goal would be that this type of thing is found unacceptable, right?
Correct.
But by erasing it and pretending it never happened, it doesn't accomplish that, because what it does is it makes it so that these things are not brought into the light. And I think what Michelle was talking about in terms of, you know, kind of putting it out there with a picture and all that, that is bringing it into the light. But I think there's got to be some kind of a middle ground where, you know, you acknowledge it and you recognize it. And then you, as Brent was saying, you don't want to be destined to repeat your mistakes because you think that they never happened.
You know what I think? I'll use the Chicago Blackhawks example one more time for this. I think that if you want to make a statement to sports organizations like the Blackhawks, you know what? The NHL should immediately say the Blackhawks are not eligible for the playoffs for the next 2 years. And not eligible.
Okay.
Not eligible to receive half of the TV revenue from an NHL rights deal for 2 years.
I think I would agree on the financial end. I don't know that it's just to basically punish the existing group of players that were like 8 years old when these things happened that are on the team. But so if you make the playoffs, great, but you hamper the organization in terms of its ability to sign free agents, to offer large contracts and all that kind of stuff, so that they do have to deal with it. But I think that this, when you slap a penalty, and I think I felt this same way about college, college teams too all the time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You punish the existing team for things that happen when the current players weren't there.
Well, let me readjust the penalties that I would give.
And the ever evolving and improving sports timeout.
I would say then the Chicago Blackhawks for 1 year cannot sign any free agent players, period.
Okay.
You do stuff like that, or take away, multiple draft choices. I mean, you can do stuff to hamper the franchise for a long time.
And will that root things out, or will that put things further underground? You know, you really have to play that card very wisely and saying, look, if you see a problem and you take care of it instantly, that's one thing. But if you do a cover up, oh man, it should hurt. And it is difficult, especially when you have sexual allegations, which of course disproportionately affect women more than men. But as we saw in this hockey situation, it's not exclusively a woman thing. But this week, guys, I'll have some pictures of this up on the website. I was in a press conference for FIFA in Seattle, Seattle is vying for one of the spots for the World Cup. Kind of exciting, and talking about what they're doing and some of the changes and some of the good things that they're looking at in each city. And who is going to be one of these cities, we will find out probably February or March. But one of the people that was on the panel was a Seattle-born bred Amy Griffin. You may have known her as Amy Allman, just an amazing woman, a soccer coach, former player. She played on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They won the 1991 FIFA Women's World Cup. As we were walking to the parking lot, we were talking about things in sports that change slowly, the recognition of women. Even Casey Keller, who was on the amazing keeper on the panel as well, was saying, you know, he's played all over the world, and in places in the world, they didn't even have places for his daughters to play. It's been long in coming for women. As I was walking to the parking lot, Amy and I were in a conversation. You know, she coaches a deaf league. No one even knows that there's deaf soccer. There's soccer for people who are hearing impaired. She talked about how it has been hard won in a lot of ways to have that kind of recognition, to be even put on a panel like this for FIFA to say, look, women have a place. And we were talking about me being a woman. how it's been hard to be recognized even in sports. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but even in that meeting, I was one of the first hands, if not the first hand to be raised, but not called on because, well, one, this isn't ESPN. This isn't, I'm sorry, you guys are awesome, but it's not ESPN. And it's not the local paper, which our local reporter got to ask like four questions. Some of them were like, what? But, you know, men from maybe outlets that are about the equal in size to ours were recognized. Now, was that because I'm a woman? I don't know anymore. I really don't know anymore. And honestly, I don't care because what I do care about, guys, we are making inroads. We're making changes. We're talking about some of the misogyny, some of the poor behavior. That is a step in the right direction. Women are making changes. There's been more inroads, and we will continue to fight. How do we fight? With excellence in reporting, professionalism, both on and off the screen and your radio. My thoughts. There you go.
Well, I mean, that's well said, and that's what it's going to take. If I can relate a real quick personal experience here, as we have our several moments left in the show, I recently got a great opportunity to audition for the Seattle Kraken public address announcer job, but I wasn't chosen as the final person, but it was great to be able to make that final audition. And the Kraken gave me a great opportunity, and they're a great organization, and I would do the same thing tomorrow. That's an organization that's really trying to give a lot of different opportunities to a lot of different people. So I want to give them a shout out this week for a great way of going about that and doing a great thing.
Yeah, congratulations on that. For those who are listening or viewing, Rich is in a wheelchair. Rich, too, has had to fight against maybe ignorance, sometimes discrimination, a status quo. I may have even mentioned one press event that Rich and I went to together without even thinking. They placed the media tent where they would have the press event up a grassy, muddy hill. Now, how is someone who is in a wheelchair supposed to get? So Rich and I'm pushing Rich. Rich is like cranking the wheels.
That was one of the best Nautilus workouts I think I had that week.
That was crazy. The more we're out there, the more we're doing a great job, and the more we are enduring, the light goes on. Did anyone try to discriminate against Rich? No. But they just weren't thinking. And that gave them the, oh, maybe we better rethink this. Give people that chance before you cancel them. And when they continue to do something that is egregious, then should we cancel them all together, or should we all learn from it? I guess that's the point of the whole face off today. Now, yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So what I wanted to get to, as we talk about hockey, I have been excited about watching the Kraken.
Face off into hockey. That's perfect.
Right? Right? I've been pretty excited.
Well, until
excited.
This year, we couldn't say that on this show. So that's a great thing.
Well, we could, but not with a Seattle Slayer.
Right.
With our own bias, because some of our guys who are outside of the area aren't with us today. It has been a real fun road, though. In hockey, one hockey story you had sent us all out, the Sabres are trading Jack Eichel to the Vegas Golden Knights. And by the way, speaking of the Kraken, folks, which we all have Kraken here, Jordan Eberle made history with the very first hat trick last night against the Sabres. It was a 5-2 victory. I think two of those goals were empty goals where the goalie
at the end.
Yes, at the end. Nevertheless, Eberle had a hat trick. Number 67, Morgan Geeky, had the other goal. Go Geeky. So that was really exciting. And the hats went flying, not mine, because it's blinged. I'm not getting rid of my hat.
Well, I don't know if that would make it to the ice. The bling might weigh it down. It might just like get to the front row before
girls
it gets to
got
the
a
ice.
Girls got a sport like the girls got a sport. I'm sorry, that's just how she plays. That's how she rolls.
Last week I talked about how Brandon Tanev was my early favorite for player. My favorite player of the
number
Kraken.
13, Turbo.
Number 13. Yeah, so now we can really do the Let's Go Brandon chant legitimately at the hockey game, and you can do it. You can chant for two things at the same time.
Which is kind of interesting. Last night, unfortunately, Seattle has one chant and one chant only. I don't know why we can't be creative, why we can't yell, fear the deep or something. But we've got, let's go Kraken. That's it. That's it, right? But I did hear, and I would lie if I didn't say I didn't participate in a Let's Go Brandon chant here and there. Now, having said that, we'll go into what the Let's Go Brandon thing is all about, if you don't know, on a Sunday's Weekend Review. So, you know, we don't have to talk about that. But guys, I was conflicted because Carl was sitting next to me and he said, wait a minute, where's the girl who says she doesn't like politics and sports? I'm like, conviction. Ouch.
Well, the Climate Pledge Arena is the epicenter for politics and sports. And so,
which should be the Crack House, ladies and gentlemen.
That would be a good chant. You could, you know how they have the Seahawks chant where one side of the stadium does C and the other side does
Hawks. Yeah.
Crack House.
Michelle, you had mentioned that a little bit of hypocrisy in Climate Pledge with a water bottle that you purchased.
Yeah, check this out. I don't have it with me right now, but water, which, by the way, $9 for a standard water bottle. $9, right? They've cut that down to $7. And we heard from some of the workers that they're going to be cutting prices even more. That place is expensive for food and beverage, priced out the regular people that we're supposed to care so much about.
Tickets? I mean, how much are tickets going for?
I don't know because between season tickets and some of the things.
Average, that, yeah. It's, but it's they're in the expensive. Hundreds of dollars, though. I mean, you can't get a ticket for under $100.
No. Yeah, NHL season tickets and NHL single game tickets are some of the highest in professional sports,
which still opens up the junior league for people to go and really enjoy a sport, just like going to a double A baseball game is a great way to do it. I think if you really wanted to show that you were progressive, then you have a few seats, at least a few seats or a section that is reserved for people to buy first come, first serve at a reasonable price, a $20 ticket, something like that, right? That would be great. But my water bottle that I got on the very first game, my $9 aluminum can water bottle, I decided you're allowed to refill there at the game because they want to be environmentally friendly with their climate pledge. So I brought it back to the game and I had it emptied. I had the lid off and they said, oh, you can't bring that in here. No, it's plastic only. I'm like this, but this came from you guys. You can see it's empty. I'm sorry. No. So what do I have to do? If they didn't allow me this one time to do it, I would have just had to throw it away. Huh. Yeah. These are the things we got to think through a little bit, folks.
Yeah, there's a little flaw in that plan somewhere. There's a there's a circuit missing from that computer connection there. But
such as it is. Hey, guys, I wanted to take another issue on. We're still dealing with vaccination issues as well. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID-19. But here's the thing. That's not unusual. A lot of people have tested positive for COVID-19 in sports, even though they are vaccinated, right? Well, Rodgers is going to be missing Sunday's game against KC, and he'll have to remain away for a minimum of 10 days. Why is that a big deal? Because that's what happens when unvaccinated players test positive. The vaccinated players can potentially return if they get two negative COVID-19 tests 24 hours apart. Now, why are we still doing this when we know natural immunity is stronger, longer, and better, right? Why shouldn't someone who may have had not vaccinated not be able to produce two negative COVID tests and say, okay, you're negative? How is that any different? Especially when we now know that if you're vaccinated, you can still get and spread COVID. Isn't that dangerous?
Oh, again, it's the hypocrisy and the double standards that are out there, because now I heard a recent study was saying that the vaccination doesn't last more than six, it's like 3 months.
Yeah.
And so then you're going to have to get a booster, and the natural immunities last. The Israeli study showed that those with natural immunities were 27 times less likely to catch the Delta variant than someone who had been vaccinated with a double dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
And that's the Delta variant. Keep in mind that when you have natural immunity, your natural immunity isn't saying, okay, I'll never get Delta again. It does. But it also makes you less likely to get another variant.
Other variants, yeah.
So that's very, very important. That's why natural immunity is better. Let's just take all the concerns about aborted fetuses or adjuvants or blood clots or heart problems and all of that. Let's just take that away. First of all, a vaccine, if you remember getting your measles vaccine in the next week, getting the measles? No. You know why? Because it was a proper vaccine. If you get vaccinated and you can still get that same variant, it's not doing its job. And if we don't talk about it, they won't get better. But the issue at hand with Aaron Rodgers, for example, is, look, your natural immunity is something. 45 million Americans have it. If we're going to test based on what you said, Garrick, we should be testing people with the vaccine as well, because that 3 months, it could be 4 weeks, it could be 9 months for somebody. We don't know. That makes them susceptible. And that's the problem. Yeah. And we don't have consistency. So I guess that's been the lesson in sports today, and the stories behind the stories is that we don't have consistency. And honestly, I want to bring that to the God story before we get to our final shot. Is that, speaking of that thing I always get back to, the worldview? Your worldview matters. If you have a worldview that is inconsistent, what does that do to how it plays out with how you treat controversy, how you deal with health issues, and how you live out your daily life, guys?
Well, to man can make anything seem right at the appropriate time.
There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof lead to what, Pastor?
Destruction.
Destruction.
Death. Is that the verse you were talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. So worldview matters. Worldview matters. Guys, real quick, and anything else in the sports realm? I know we had the college has been real fun to watch, and college football.
Seattle soccer fans, Jordan Morris has returned.
Yes. National team player. It did absolutely almost no good in in the last. So that's all.
You gotta start somewhere when you're coming back off of an injury. I mean,
it wasn't just him. That's the whole team. I mean, we've had the Seattle Sounders have gone from whoa at the beginning of the year to let's hope we can just hold on. So we'll see how that happens as we're entering into the last stages of regular season and going into the playoffs. I know the Sounders are going to be taking on Vancouver this weekend, and Vancouver is, you know, they've been vying for a spot. So we'll see how all of that plays out.
Decision Sunday, as MLS is calling it.
Decision Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So I'll be watching lots of games. Guys, it's time for our final shot. And I played the soundbite. It didn't play. Come on. You can't do your final shot if you don't have your final shot.
Final shot.
There you go. All right, Rich Hallstrom, give us your final shot.
Well, the Oregon Ducks come to town, and the University of Washington Huskies football team is going to attempt to show up this week and put on a great effort against their arch rival in the Pacific Northwest. As we remember last year, Oregon represented the Pac-12 North in the Pac-12 championship game because of COVID-19 problems for the Huskies.
Right. I remember that.
Can the Huskies pull one out of the hat? Can Jimmy Lake come up with a defensive plan to stop the Oregon Ducks, who are number 4 in the college football rating?
Gotta love
college
rivals.
Football ratings this week.
And stop the Ducks and destroy the Pac-12's chances of getting in the playoffs.
The Pac-12 has no chance to get in the playoff after this is all over. I think so. Let's not even go there, Brent.
Garrick Ping.
Well, mine actually will broach the line of sports and politics, because my final shot goes to someone who has accomplished something that has never happened ever before. This person was recently elected to office this week. Winsome Sears became the first woman of color to be elected into a statewide office in the Commonwealth, the state of Virginia.
That's right. Big news.
And she is a Black woman. Here's where she would be what I would consider Afro-Caribbean, not African-American, because her family is from Jamaica. They immigrated here in 1963, and I just loved her.
And yet she considers herself what? Un-American.
An American. Oh, there you go.
Well, yeah, she was a Marine before she was a citizen.
That's right. That's right. And yeah. She, in her acceptance speech, she was talking about how there is so much talk about division. And she said, you would think that they were talking about the world today as if we were in the 1960s. She said, we've had an African-American president elected twice, not once, but twice. And this really speaks to what we've been talking about today in terms of the fact that our country is a work in progress. And it is not what it once was. And we are growing, and we are learning, and we are evolving, if you will. And so for her to be elected into this office, I think is huge. And just a huge shout out to her. Congratulations for getting elected based on the merit of who she is.
I guess.
Sorry about that. That's my final shot, but we'll get to Brent Baker first.
So I may give mine out to Monty Williams, the Phoenix Suns coach. He's a great guy. He had a lot of very thoughtful things to say last year during all the social unrest and the riots that I appreciated. And so with this scandal within the Suns organization that has gotten a lot of press this week, there's a couple of comments he said that kind of resonated with me. First of all, I've got him in front of me here. So first of all, he said, there's so many things here. it's still not clear to me as far as the facts are concerned. As someone who is a caretaker of the program, I find all of these things that are being said serious in nature, and sensitive is an understatement, but at the same time, it's not clear yet what happened. And he went on to say, many opinions have been shared, many feelings were shared, but all that happened before I was here. So based on what you know about me, what little you know about me, if any of that stuff had happened while I was here, I would not be in this seat. So seeing as that there are not like recordings or video of some of, you know, these incidents that were recounted in ESPN's article, you know, I think that I just appreciate this fact. He's saying, look, this is all very serious. If it is all true, we need to address it that way, but we need to wait until we actually know what the facts are before we start throwing people under the bus. And that's not how our society typically works these days. So
it's a good reminder.
So again, I appreciate his approach to that.
My final shot is another reminder, as we have looked at a lot of controversies this week in sports and what do we do with them? Where worldview really does count. The right worldview and the right view of God can give you that it factor. It can help you in the losses, and it can give you something even greater to celebrate in the victories. So my final shot goes out to a Braves player, Dansby Swanson, who had this to say after the big win. Take a listen. And the watch.
Destiny, I guess. The good Lord, I mean, he's blessed me so much. Wouldn't be here without him. Just the peace that he gives me is just, it's remarkable. And especially in moments like this, you know, you can never go wrong trusting in that. And like I said, I'm just so thankful to be here.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to, guys. That doesn't make him perfect. It doesn't make anyone who has that connection with God perfect, but boy, it gives you hope and it gives you guidance when you need it the most. And I think that's something we need and we can see in each one of these stories we've talked about today. The fellas, my brothers, thank you for joining today. This is like a highlight of the week, getting together for sports. Thank you guys for watching and being part, and know that you can get more information at mymichellelive.com, not only on these guys, the books they've written, how you can get connected with them, but some of the stories we talked about as well. I will check you guys out next week. I love you guys.
Thanks.
Love you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
See you break dance, Garrick. I know you got
to go to mymichellelive.com.
And that, as they say, is a wrap.
That was a good
room.
That was a good one.